speaking on this program is Doris Hughes.
So there's only two roads to travel, aren't there? In Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable talks about Christ. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, sowed tares among his wheat, and went his way. Now the field here represents, of course, the world. Good seed are the children of God. Tares are the children of Satan. The enemy that sowed the tares, that was the devil. So a person is either a child of God or a child of the devil. A person is under the power of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, or they've been translated into the kingdom of God. Now, the word translated is often used in the sense of removing people from one country to another country. Now, when a person becomes a Christian, they're transferred from the darkness of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of light, and that's God's kingdom. Now, as we see, the church is the family of God because in the Scripture, it's called the house of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and pillar and ground of the truth. Now, as we read, the truth is the Word of God, the Bible. And it's supported, of course, by the church, just as a house is, well, it's supported by its own foundation. When we look to the New Testament, we find the good man Cornelius. We're told that he was a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house. So he feared God with all of his family, didn't he? The church is called the house of God. And we understand that. That is the family of God. In the church, God is our Father, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, there are great blessings which are reserved for those in the family of God, while those outside the family, they don't have these blessings. But through obedience, we are the children of God. Romans 8, chapter in the 16th verse, it tells us, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now listen to this, that we are the children of God. We wear the family name Christian, don't we? Which the disciples were, they were first called at Antioch, remember in Acts 11, chapter and verse 26. We have the fatherly care. We have the protection and the security if we cling to God and have faith and trust in God. Now, this doesn't mean that everything will be just like we want it to be. And indeed, we're going to have ups and downs, and we're going to have good days, and we're going to have bad days. But whatever we're faced with, God is there to always give us spiritual strength to bear with it and provide for us what is best for us. How do we get into the family of God? Now, it's understood, and many times this is a topic of discussion, but it's understood that babies and small children and those that are mentally ill and mentally impaired are not accountable, and they're not lost. They do not have sins. Sin, you see, is an act that's performed by each person. In 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse, whosoever committeth sin transgresses, he said, also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. There's only two ways now to get into the family of, and that is by physical birth or adoption. And the way responsible people enter the family of God is by the new birth, isn't it? But what is that, though? You talk about a new birth. What does that mean? What must I do? Well, first, let us look at the conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus that ye must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he says he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus, he was inquirous. And Nicodemus asked him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? He says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Read about in John, the third chapter, verses 3 through 5. Now, Jesus did not refer to the water that's connected with the physical birth. That's what Nicodemus didn't understand when he asked the question, how can a man be born again when he is old? Now, Nicodemus, he was an adult. And he was a ruler of the Jews. He had association in a pretty high place there, and he had experienced a physical birth. And Jesus told him that you must be born again, a spiritual birth, which includes water and the Spirit. Now, that's just plainly what Christ told Nicodemus. Very clear. Now, Christ did not say of water only, did he? But he didn't leave out water. There are two parts of any birth. That's the course of the conception and bringing forth or delivering. Now, when a person has faith in Christ, they've been conceived but not yet born into the family of God. In John, the first chapter, in the 12th verse, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, Christians are called sons of God because they are adopted by him. They resemble him, and we have his spirit, I guess we could call it. Now, we might compare a sinner, which we once were, and to those who are still lost. We might compare this to a little dirty, ragged, and unruly little orphan boy, roaming the streets. No home, no one to love him. But then there's some good man that sees him, and he kind of feels sorry for him. And he takes him into his home, and he gives him nourishing food and nourishes his body and so forth. And he cleans him up, and he puts good clothes on him, and he adopts him into his own family. And he admits him to the same privilege and honor as if he had an only son. Now, this is love. But it's a very small thing compared to what God has done for us and to the love that he has for every one of us. A sinner, which we were once, is ungrateful, they're rebellious, we're unruly. But God loved us enough to give his only son, and he'll forgive us all of our sinful ways and adopt us, as we would say, into his family, and call us his children. I think that's about the simplest way that I can explain. Many years ago, when the American Indians, they roamed the Great Plains, the only son of a great chief was stricken with a very mysterious illness. And the medicine man of the tribe, he just tried everything that he could do, that he needed to do to heal the boy. And then he admitted to the chief that his son was going to die. Well, the medicine man didn't know all about different diseases, and he was afraid that this illness would be something that would strike the other members of the tribe. So he told the chief, he said, the little boy is getting worse and worse, and the little boy's father, that the tribe, we need to move on and leave the dying boy behind. And the chief, he just simply refused to leave his son to die all alone. And I'm sure that we, if this is our situation, that we would feel the same way, wouldn't we? And of course, the medicine man, he warned that if he did not, then the entire tribe, they might become sick and same disease happen to them and wipe out the tribe. So finally, here the heartbroken father, he gave orders to move on and leaving his son to die alone. I know this is a very heartbreaking story. But you know, it's nothing compared to the most heartbreaking scene in all of human history. When God gave His Son, left Him alone to be punished and made fun of and spit upon and slapped and finally nailed to the old cross. He did this that we might have eternal life. Now there are only two choices for us to make as where that we're someday going to spend eternity. That's heaven, or the other's hell. And truly, I believe every word that the Scripture says about hell, and I don't want to go to that place. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, when Christ said, "Fear not them which kill the body," that is men who can injure your body, but they don't have the power of your soul, do they? And really, you know, the body is a very small matter when you really compare it to the soul. Temporal death is a slight thing when you compare it to eternal death. Now, the passage here of Matthew 10:28. Proves that the bodies of the wicked will be raised up to be punished forever. Punished forever in that terrible place called hell. It's a helpless place. And there's a great gulf, as the Bible tells us about, being prepared to prevent any crossing over from hell into heaven. Avoiding hell is a tremendous motivating force in my life. And it makes me to strongly desire, even more stronger, desire one day to go to heaven. And I want to go to heaven because it's going to be a happy place. And God's going to be there, Christ is going to be there, and He's going to recognize us. He's done so much for us. He made the world. He gives us life, and we should be as a people that always serve Him faithful in every way that we can. We should be faithful to every service of the church and all other aspects of being a faithful Christian as well. We need to think about that. Serve Him the best that we can as long as we're in the flesh, regardless of our age, if we're young or if we're older. Now, just because that a person is up in years, they're not finished. God has something that we can do if we'll always love Him and trust Him and obey Him. The story goes of a little boy. He's coming out of Sunday school class one morning, and a man asked me, he said, "Son, can you tell me who made you?" And he was a very poor little boy. He looked down at his bare feet and his ragged clothes, and he kind of squinted with one eye. He said to the man, he said, "God ain't done with me yet." And really, you know, God will use us as long as we stay faithful. Stay in touch with Him, if you want to put it in those words. No matter what's wrong with us, we might not be able to understand, but God can use us in some way. It could be by our love for others. Maybe our kindness or our patience or things of this nature. You know, we never know. Sometimes when things seem rough that we're going through, that God, He might be working some great purpose through our life. Blessings in disguise, maybe. We need to realize that. God has provided for us while we live on this earth. He's invited us to come into heaven, come through His Son, Christ. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye that labored heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes, heaven will be a tremendous place to live forever. There won't be any more pain. There's not going to be any more suffering. No more tears, no more sadness, no death, no mourning. All will go peaceful. All will be peace. All will be happiness in that great place. Have you ever thought about after death, what will you be remembered for? And really, we're really making a name for ourselves while we're living, aren't we? Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we should let our pure conversation and our faithfulness be seen and known everywhere that we go. He doesn't say, show it off. He says, let your light so shine. Have you ever thought about it? Before we go, the places that we go, what we do and what we see, that identifies us with Christ. And the opposite, of course, is also true. What we refrain from doing or going also shows. This shows that we're following Christ. You know, Jesus taught that if our foot offends us, that we need to cut it off, doesn't he? And that just simply means that if we're going certain places that can cause us to sin, we don't need to go to these places. If something is taking us away from being faithful to the service of the church or anything that keeps us from pure Christianity, then we need to do some soul searching. What we do not do also shows dedication to Christ. You said if our hand offends us, he says cut it off. Now, cutting off our hand, it means to quit doing things that will cause us to sin, cause us to be lost. Plucking out our eyes, it means to discontinue looking at things that will cause us to sin. And we should all just always identify Jesus in all that we say, our manner of conversation, everything that we do, and give thanks to God in the name of Christ.